Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our online service. If you've been following us on YouTube or Facebook, we also have an interactive online service at shofararmanus.online.church that starts every Sunday morning at 9:30. It's an interactive service, so you have the ability to also communicate, ask for prayer, support, and also respond to articles. So I want to really encourage you, if you have not been part of that and you would like a more interactive experience online, please join us on shofararmanus.online.church. Before we continue, let's just close our eyes and pray. Father, we want to thank you for this day, Lord. We want to thank you for the privilege we have to come together in your name without fear, knowing that you see us, that you hear us, and that your heart is for us. God, I pray that today as we spend time in your word, Lord, that it will not be my words that will remain, but only yours. God, we thank you, Lord, that if we receive your word in humility, it will not return void to you, but it will accomplish its purpose, and that is to give us life. So, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us today through your word, so that we may reap the benefit of life that you've come to give us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Living for Something. The question is, what are you living for? What are you living for? It's a very important question. It seems such a simple question, yet it is so important. And I want us just to take a moment to consider the question. What are you living for? It is probably one of the most important questions we need to ask ourselves and constantly remind ourselves. If we do not have a clear answer, we run the risk of living a life aimlessly. And you would have lived your life for absolutely nothing, and we only have one life to live. So this is an important question, and there are just so many voices, so many distractions in this world, so many things that wants to lure us into different directions and reasons for living. It is so important for us to ask this question. This question is important because if you have a clear answer, it will direct your focus, your actions, your priorities. It will even focus your motivation and direct everything in which you do and establish within you an endurance to continue in that particular direction. Without a clear answer, you will be easily influenced by others. And we'll be going constantly in different directions without a clear goal or direction. Some may define this question as purpose. What is your purpose? Now, the dictionary definition of purpose is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. But also, it is a person's sense of resolve and determination. So what you are living for not only directs your priorities and actions, it is also a motivation to actually continue in a particular direction. One thing that I've learned in the military is if you live only for yourself, your endurance is limited. But if you live for something beyond yourself, there is great endurance in the midst of great suffering and hardship. Men do extraordinary things that they would otherwise not have done if they were only living for themselves, but because they are living for something greater than themselves, they do extraordinary things. Men are even willing to give their lives for their country and their friends because they are willing to live for something greater than themselves. This reminds me of Jesus' words in John 12, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it is for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. You see, Jesus lived for something greater than himself. Jesus lived to glorify the Father. It not only gave Christ direction, but it was also a powerful motivator and great endurance to face great suffering, even death on the cross. Because Jesus was not living for himself. If he was simply living for himself, he would have avoided the cross. We read here in Mark 14, verse 36, Jesus said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done." Jesus was not living for himself. He was living for God, for God's will and for God's glory. When Christ came into the world, he came with a purpose to reveal the glory of the Father. And we too, interestingly enough, were created to reveal the glory of the Father. We were created in the image and likeness of God, and we were commanded to multiply and fill the earth with the image and likeness of God, to reveal who God is. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him." And so we were all created for the glory of God. That's man's purpose from the beginning. We were created for the glory of God. So what is man's purpose? Man's purpose is to live in such a way to glorify God, in such a way that will reveal who God is. Christ also came into the world with the same purpose, to glorify the Father through sacrificing his life and saving us. And so, through Christ's life, the Father was glorified through his sacrifice and the way he lived his life. Not only seeing who the Father is, but also revealing the heart of the Father, who was willing to sacrifice his Son so that we may be saved and know that this is a God that loves us so much. This purpose that Christ had in his life was not driven by a sense of duty. Christ's life and purpose was driven by something far greater and far more powerful than duty. Christ's purpose was driven by love. Love for the Father and love for us. We read, of course, in John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was love that motivated Christ's obedience, even obedience to death on a cross. It was not motivated by a sense of duty, but by a sense of love for God. And so we read in John 15, verse 9 to 10, "As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Love motivated his obedience, and his obedience kept Christ in the Father's love. You know, when I went to the army, I was conscripted. I wasn't even drafted. We all had to go. We had no choice. It was our duty. It was our duty to sign up for military service. But I soon realized that duty is a potential weak motivator, because not everyone was equally committed as we joined the military. But there is something that suffering together, there is something that combat produces in people. And I've seen and experienced it firsthand, how people are drawn together to do extraordinary things, to endure great hardship and suffering, because something changed within themselves, that they were no longer doing it for themselves, but they were doing this for something greater. It's so interesting if you listen to the soldiers who receive medals for their bravery, and they were asked the question, they often ask this question, "What motivated you to do these great feats of selfish bravery?" Most of them answer this way. They will say, "It was not for love of my country or duty, but the love for my brothers, those in my unit, that I was willing to risk my life and suffer great hardships, and some even give their lives to save those around them." In John 15, verse 11 to 14, it continues, these things Jesus said, I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You see, love is a far more powerful motivator than duty. Ephesians 5 verse 8 to 10 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the life consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so powerfully, find out what pleases the Lord. You see, a sense of duty will lead me only to know what is right and wrong. A sense of duty will motivate me only to stick to the rules. But love will motivate me to find out what pleases God and do that also. Far more than the letter of the law. You see, love motivates me to go beyond the minimum requirements and to find out what pleases and to do those things also. It is not just about what is right and what is wrong, but it is about seeking what pleases God. You know, the law requires that I remain faithful to my wife. It simply requires that I should not have another. But love motivates me to find out what pleases my wife. And so I make her coffee or tea in the morning. I help her in the house and I buy her gifts from time to time, even though it's not a birthday. You see, love motivates me to do far more than the minimum requirement of the law. It motivates me to find out what pleases and to do those things also. And so if we are motivated by love, we do more than the minimum requirements. We will find out what pleases God and do that also. And so if our purpose is to bring glory to God, how do we glorify Him? Well, John 15 verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you will bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. Jesus showed us how, and He taught us that it's through the fruits of righteousness that we bring glory to the Father. And by following His example in living a life of righteousness, we will be known as His disciples. Jesus was constantly moved by compassion and not by obligation. The Pharisees operated out of obligation and did exactly what the law obligated, but they missed the heart of God. We read in Luke 11 verse 42, but woe to you Pharisees, you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You should have done both, but you were driven not by the love of God, but you were driven out of obligation. And so you did just what the law required. But Jesus did far more than what the law required. You see, the law required that every sinner need to be punished for his offense. But Christ came to do far more than what the law required. He came to give His own life as a sacrifice so that we can be forgiven. And we see it so clearly in the example of the woman that was caught in adultery. The law required her to be punished. But Jesus said, I do not condemn you because I will take your sin upon myself and I will pay the price that you deserve so that you can go and sin no more. Jesus came to save those who were guilty under the law by paying the price for our sins. But you know what? Not only do we bring glory to God when we live in a way that pleases Him, there's something powerful that happens when we live a life that pleases God. Others will see and others will also glorify God. We read in Matthew 5 verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. In 1 Peter 2 verse 12, it says, live such good lives among the pagans though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. How powerful is that? You know, we've been born again and we've become a new creation in Christ, not to live for ourselves, but to live for God. Not out of obligation, but out of love. Not to do the minimum, but to do everything that pleases and glorifies God. That's why 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen? It's such a powerful summary of our purpose in Christ. So let us consider this question. What do we live for? Let us answer that question and remind ourselves what and who we are living for. Because that has a profound impact in everything that we do. And let us seek to find what pleases God. Let us search God's face and grow in our understanding and knowledge of that what pleases God. Not whether I have to give to the beggar or not, but whether this will please the Lord if I do. What will please Him in my giving, in my serving, in my living my life? Not just what is necessary, but what is pleasing to Him. You see, this changes everything. This changes the way we live our lives. This even changes the way I drive my car, and my wife so often have to remind me, the way you are driving, does this bring glory to God? It's not whether it's right or wrong or seen or unseen, but the way you do what you do, does this truly bring glory to God? And so if we answer this question and we pursue to do the things, not just what the law requires, but the things that pleases God, it changes our purpose, meaning, our motivation, and the drive behind everything we do. Let us be mindful of God's glory and what pleases Him. Like Jesus showed and taught us, even how we ought to pray. Jesus said, we need to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be esteemed, honored, and glorified. Father, may we start our very day with this desire to bring glory to your name, so that your kingdom may come and your will be done on the earth through us. As we live, not just for ourselves, not just what the law requires or what we're obligated to do, but that we live the things that pleases you. Let us pursue you and live for you all the days of your life. So that we may not only know and be known as your disciples, but that we may be the ones that bring glory to your name. May this be our pursuit in life. May it be our drive and motivation in this life, that we may live our lives in such a way that men will not just see our good works, but they may see God and glorify Him. And I pray that this morning that we will consider this and that we will live our lives to please Him. And you know what? The amazing thing is when we do, we not only bring glory to Him, but we receive glory from the Father. He is the one who affirms, acknowledges, and lifts us up. And we may hear these words where He speak over us, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little, I will make you ruler over much. And so I pray that from this day on, we will consider not just to live what we have to, but to live what pleases God. And so that He may receive all the glory for it. Let us just close our eyes. Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You, Father, for Your love for us. Thank You for saving us. Lord, thank You for not just coming because You were driven by duty and obligation. Thank You, God, that we know that You came because You loved us and that You gave far more than was necessary to save us so that we may have life. And God, I pray that we will respond to this great love by giving ourselves as a living sacrifice, that we may live a life that proves that Your will is good, perfect, and acceptable, that the world may see that you are a good God and that you are worthy to be praised, worthy to be worshipped, worthy to be served. And God, I pray that you will teach us more of yourself, Lord. Teach us of the things that pleases you. And Lord, grant us to have a heart, Lord, that pursue that out of love and not out of obligation. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for those who are here this morning. If you want to surrender your love, your life, and your very being to God who has given everything to save you, to redeem you, I want to pray that you will just close your eyes and that you would surrender your life, that you will respond to God by saying, yes, Father, I choose to believe that you have given your Son because you love me to save me. And today I want to respond by giving my life to you. If you're here today and you struggle to find purpose and meaning in life, we would love to pray with you that God will help you to see this amazing life that He has given you, this purpose that you have in Him, and that you may live it to the full, have a life of abundance, of love, of peace, of joy in the knowledge of Him. And God, I pray that this will constantly be on our hearts and our minds, that we will search you for who you are, and that we will search the things that pleases you, and that we may live it so that you may receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're with us on our online platform, there will be an opportunity to receive ministry and prayer. Please respond to those links and we'll happily pray with you. And for the rest of us, may you have an awesome week and follow God, pleasing Him, that we may bring glory to His name. And in that, find our fulfillment of our purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.